EHR records those satisfactions. They are often filed duplicately by order of satisfaction in the circuit court and also with DHR. So the information is abundantly available. I would point out that there are two other bills that affect this area. Senate Bill 209 is directly related because it seeks to have all divorce decrees paid, all support orders hereafter entered on the DHR records. So there, again, would be the centralized filing not only for the district attorney and Department of Justice support enforcement cases, but also for the other cases, all the private cases that are out there as well. Secondly, there's Senate Bill 211, which does, in this area, extends the lien effect on support judgments. And I think we've heard testimony that support judgments are certainly one of the more troublesome ones that the county, that the title companies face. Certainly, this information would be available that much more readily.
Carl, were those bills in at the request of the Department of Justice?
Yes, they are.
Do you know if they've had any hearings or going?
Yes, I believe they have had hearings. They're scheduled for a work session in April before Senate Judiciary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're moving anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't know if I have anything further. Any questions from committee I'd entertain?
Representative Springer?
Carl, I used to do a little support enforcement when I was a deputy DA up in Multnomah County back in the history, but tell me what impact or my understanding that the state of Oregon, when it's providing public assistance, also takes an assignment of a custodial parent's right to go after the obligation that is due by the non-custodial parent when there is a support order. And I assume that the state very vigorously, at least I'm aware, very vigorously goes out and tries to enforce those obligations, tries to collect. What impact would this have on the state in terms of when it steps into the role of the person to whom the obligation is owed in those situations?
I have a copy, I'm not authorized to speak for, but I have a copy of the Support Enforcement Division's legislative impact statement, and they were at apparently the $4 rate, I don't know for sure, were indicating that there would be a $56,000 biennium fiscal impact on the Support Enforcement Division, Department of Justice, because they would certainly bear the cost of these filings. In the district attorney caseload, we have a larger caseload, I believe, statewide than support enforcement does collectively. However, the costs, generally costs such as these, we have to defer to the client to bear any extraordinary costs because our budgets are relatively limited.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carl Stern.
Charles Stern, Yamhill County Clerk. I'd like to address a couple of issues which have come up as the course of this discussion and perhaps answer any questions that you may have. The counties now have a county clerk lien system in place in which orders and warrants of various public agencies are recorded, where various liens created by statute are also recorded. The addition of the additional liens as proposed by this bill would not necessarily create a new system, but it certainly would have an impact on an existing system. We've discussed it in some counties, particularly Lane County, which would have a significant impact, in Multnomah County, and they feel that their systems would handle the increased workload. We, as we deal with the public coming to the counter wanting to do their own research, see it as a consumer bill in that it provides a place for John Q. Public to go and look up his records. Frequently, we have someone now come to us and say, now, that from what you say, there is no lien on my property, and we'd have to say, from our records, there is no lien on your property. You'll have to go and look at local improvement districts, cities, and the court records. The average person really isn't aware of that information, and unless they ask us, we may not give them that information because we don't know just what they're doing as they search the public records. So we view it as somewhat a benefit to the consumer. Some discussion was made over the term record versus file or docket. As you all remember, at one time we were also the clerk of the court. And I believe a distinction can be made between the recording functions of the county recorder's office as opposed to the filing and docketing functions of the court clerk. Occasionally that distinction is continued to be merged. At one time it was merged and is now separate and distinct. It was not anticipated that the assessment liens, the various liens addressed in this bill, would be docketed in the clerk's record. It is merely recording it as a notice to the public that such a lien exists, and then that should go and search the docket records to see what the current status of those liens are. It is not intended, as I understand the bill, to maintain a current docket as payments are being made or that type of thing, but as a public notice that such a lien does exist. I kind of one more thing, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Regarding the change in the fees and the repeal of the discretionary indexing fee, there has been a bill, Representative McCarty's bill, which does that independently of this bill, and this is merely conforming it to Representative McCarty's bill, which has passed the committee, and I am not aware whether it's passed the House yet or not.
It's on the floor tomorrow.
It's on the floor tomorrow, okay, yes. Representative McCarty's bill does the fee changes and the repeal of the indexing fee. And that was a somewhat a burden on the public because they would go to their local recorder and say, what does it cost to record? So the recorder would tell them, the county clerk would say, well, it costs $4 a page plus $2 indexing. So they would send their document then to another county only to have it returned because in that other county it was $4 a page plus $1 indexing. Or $3 index. The indexing fee was a constant floater. And one of the concepts, as we talked with the title companies, is we wanted to deal with two concepts, standard fees, standard methods of dealing with the records. There are, and so out of that, we looked at the repealing of that discretionary indexing fee.
Are all the office hours within the county and the courthouses and the courts and the reporting offices similar?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Do you have any concerns over the liability of if you are statutorily the recorder of record for everything that goes on and for some reason the city or somebody didn't get you the information and you provide some information that costs somebody some money that you are will then be the recipient of some adverse judgment?
Mr. Chairman, no more concerned than we are now.
Now you don't have the statutory responsibility to be the central collector.
Mr. Chairman, we are the collection of everybody but cities and local districts and the courts.
Well, that's, yeah.
So we
everybody but.
Everybody but. That includes all the state agencies, the federal tax liens, and individual liens, you know.
Chuck, there's been some reference to large counties, small counties, in terms of the state of art as far as computerization, et cetera. Do you have a ballpark estimate, or perhaps could you provide us later with a list of those counties which are computerized and those counties which are still doing this with paper or whatever, a book or whatever it is mechanically that they employ to record these documents or liens?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, I'll be happy to try and compile that list. I do not have that information. I do know there are counties which they probably have not yet learned how to spell computer. And so it's, No, they don't have computers. It doesn't happen until it's written. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's the end of those who have signed up to testify. I know that there's been interest by the court administrator's office. Do you want to hold off until a later hearing? Okay. Mr. Bronner, do you two want to hold off till a later hearing? Okay. Is there anybody else out there that wished to testify on this bill? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll close the hearing on 2323. We have two other bills scheduled this evening that I wanted to get done by 6 o'clock. And if you don't think I can do it, we'll see. The next one is 2326. Those signed up are from the State Bar, Mr. Olson. Is he still here? Okay. Are you... Chris, come on up. Okay.
I'll try and keep my remarks brief. I'm Chris Kozidar with the debtor-creditor section of the Oregon State Bar. Chris Gorsuch is here. He is with the real estate section of the bar regarding House Bill 2326.
Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Sure. The debtor-creditor section of the bar and the real estate section lend their support to this bill. The intent of the bill is to clean up existing statutes regarding forfeitures of land sale contracts. A number of problems arose under the new legislation, which was earlier promulgated, and the intent here is to clean that up.
Okay.
We believe that the bill does that. We do suggest a couple of not substantive changes, but changes in the language cleanup, and I have Hannah Gross' bill here, which I can have copied, I think, and submit to you tomorrow. Also, I would be willing, in order to curtail our comments here, submit an analysis of the bill for the committee by mail by tomorrow.
That'd be great, Chris. I appreciate your hand engrossing at that. I wish everybody would do that, to tell you the truth. And if you can give a brief analysis of those changes, that would be helpful.
Okay.
In addition, with those, who else would be adversely or perhaps positively affected by the bill? And if there are those bodies out there, have you shown them those changes? And
I discussed with with Chris Gorsuch, who is responsible for parts of drafting of this bill, and he is representing the real estate section of the bar. I've shared that with him. I've also discussed it with Mr. Bronner, and he had some concerns about some of the revisions we made, but I believe he concurs now in those revisions.
Oh, okay. Very good. You wish to add something?
For the record, my name is Chris Gorsuch. I'm here on behalf of the real estate and land use section of the Oregon State Bar. This is the bill was proposed by our section as to the minor change. We concur with that. I would like to submit written testimony or further support tomorrow, now that I know exactly what has taken place. The bill really cleans up three issues or problems that arose under the existing statute that was passed in 1985. These have to do with service of the notice, Lee's pendens effect of the notice, and then removal of persons in possession after the forfeiture takes place. And this cleans up and simplifies the law for those of us who use it. That will be detailed in the written materials, and I'll submit those tomorrow.
Great. Appreciate that. I'll have a chance to look over your written remarks, and then at the next hearing might have some questions on how this really does affect what we did last session. Very good. Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wishes to testify on 2326? Mr. Bronner, is it safe to assume that you'll be testifying on that one at a later date? Perhaps?
One person.
What?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We have one final bill in front of us today. House Bill 2720. Chuck, you're the only one signed up to testify on that bill. And I will add that the people who requested this have asked that they could come back at a later time and testify because the person who is the actual requester is out of town. So,
Charles Stern, Yamhill County Clerk, and I'll be brief so we can all go home. Mr. Chairman, I believe I've submitted some proposed amendments to the bill. I happen to have some additional copies with me, but I think I submitted 15 copies to Mr. Taylor earlier.
Council has a copy of the amendments.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have the copy.
A copy. The rest of them are upstairs.
All right.
Well, I will share.
I take it since you didn't sign up either for or against, you're not taking a position.
No, but it's strictly technical changes on the bill, as you'll note from the amendments. The bill in Section 4 provides some specific information that must be in the lien, but it neglects to tell us who the provider of medical services are or is, and we need to know the name and address of the provider of the medical service. Also, it provides the name but not the address of the person who received the services. In Section 5, we are again just making some changes in language. The bill provides that we're going to put this into a book kept for the purpose. As in our earlier testimony, we talked about computers and things. I do not want to go back to keeping books. Yes. And so we've proposed that it be kept in the county clerk lien record, which this body created several sessions back for that purpose. Yeah. Okay. That's the gist of my testimony.
Very good. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Also appreciate your brevity.
Thank you.
This one I did tell the requesters that we would have a hearing at a date later, so you may watch for that.
But well, this substance of this is just technical. Okay. Cleaning up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody out there that wishes to testify on a chiropractor lien?
Later.
I should have figured. That addresses all the bills that we had up today. Any other business come for the committee? If not, we're adjourned.
Great job.